My talk tonight I'm calling Attachment, Non-Attachment, and Love. And the first, the very first version of this talk I did a few years ago on Valentine's Day. And the second version of this talk I just did last Sunday, the day after Valentine's Day. And I'm doing another version tonight, and I can tell from working on this today that it's evolving into something again after this one. So Valentine's was just sort of an excuse to visit our understanding of attachment, non-attachment, and love. Attachment is a, and love are significant ideas, terms, experiences that are talked about a lot on the Buddhist path. And there can be a lot of confusion about them. I'd like to think that by the end of this talk, all your confusion will be cleared up, but I don't think I'm going to have enough time or necessarily be thorough enough to do that. But hopefully we'll get a little head start. Often on the spiritual path, it appears that we are moving towards paradox, or that we're being asked to embrace paradoxes of many kinds. It's actually only appearance. When you begin to understand these, you see that it was never a paradox. And when we try to talk about it, the very nature of language is that it's based in a kind of duality. So we're kind of stuck. We're all kind of stuck with that. So a lot of what I'm talking about is pointing beyond that duality and those paradoxes. And the paradox that I want to address, or the apparent one, is how do we love fully without attachment? How do we love fully without attachment? Because that's what we're being invited to do. We're being invited to open our hearts completely, and we're invited to let go completely. So, to love fully really means to liberate our hearts. And the liberated heart has the qualities of kindness, of love, of wishing well-being, a kind of joy, a tenderness, and a kind of balance. But our many attachments often get in the way of allowing this free and naturally liberated heart to come to the surface, to be expressed, to be experienced. So I want to talk a bit about this idea of attachment, East and West. Because the word attachment, and I'm not remembering right now what the Sanskrit or Pali word is for attachment. I don't know if anybody can help me with that right now, but that's the way it's been translated, but it's a bit problematic, like many words from the Eastern languages, that the Western or the English words aren't quite right, or they have many meanings that will increase our confusion. So both in the West, the word attachment has a number of meanings, some we might think of as positive and some we might think of negative. And then in the East, in the Buddhist tradition and other Eastern traditions, it has a particular meaning. So we can see a big difference between the word attachment in Buddhism and the word attachment in Western psychology. Do we have some professionals here, Western psychological professionals? I just want to see a few or professionals to be. Because you might be particularly aware of this confusion. And it comes out in a lot of different ways, this confusion. And also, there's often confusion about the words detachment and non-attachment. So I'm going to go into kind of deconstructing and unpacking some of this. The word attachment in Buddhism has strong negative implications. It's actually considered to be at the root of what causes suffering. It's at the very root of what causes suffering. And this attachment is really talking about the way we have a habit of, it's often described as grasping or clinging on to things. But another way I put it is perhaps the misplaced identifying with things, or a misplaced dependency on things and people and qualities and experiences in an attempt to seek happiness and well-being. We attribute things and people and, again, experiences outside of ourselves or even within ourselves as having the power to fulfill us or define us or satisfy us or make us happy in some long-term lasting way. Often it's related to who we think we are and what we think we must be or have in order to be who we are. And without that, or if it changes, we suddenly feel threatened or diminished or less than. And we do this with so many different things. And this is part of our path of investigation and awareness and self-awareness, is to begin to see more and more clearly how this pattern of attachment plays out, the subtle and gross ways that we engage in it. So certainly we can think, there's a million things, and you might sort of reflect right now in your own mind what different examples. I have just a few here. We can be attached to being right. Anybody ever have that attachment? And so when someone says you're wrong, how do you feel? There can be a lot of suffering related to that, and you might even react in a way that is blaming or angry or whatever. We can be attached, this is kind of a broad way, but we can be attached to things being a certain way. We like our house to be arranged in a certain way. We like our schedules to go according to our plans. We like people to behave in a certain way. And you can see, it doesn't take a lot of reflection to realize that's a setup for suffering and disappointment, and yet we continue to do it often. Again, semi-consciously or unconsciously. Again, we may be attached to receiving approval from others, and we only feel some sense of okayness when we're receiving that approval, and we may feel devastated or empty when we don't get it. We may have attachment to having things of different kinds, money and a certain car and all kinds of things that we might not even want to admit to, since this is a subculture that probably wants to think it's not very materialistic. But if we admit, we might look and see what we actually are attached to. We're certainly attached to a variety of our own opinions and beliefs. And we tend to think that's who we are. But if we look at a lifetime, your opinions and your beliefs have probably changed and evolved. Sometimes we may later in life have the exact opposite opinion of something we did earlier. So if your opinion is you, then what happened? Then who are you? So this attachment is also a kind of fixation, a kind of obsession. We fixate on things. We obsess on things. That's a type of attachment. And so we often then start talking about non-attachment, which I'll get into. Lama Suryadas, some of you, he talked here in the fall. Some of you may have seen him here. He's one of my teachers. a Western American Lama, and he was on the Colbert Report twice, apparently. And I saw one of them, and Stephen Colbert, if you're familiar with his style, says to Suryadas, says, what about this non-attachment thing? He says, it sounds like you can't have anything, you can't have things. And Surya just said, he said, no, it's not that you can't have things, it's that things don't have you. Mm-hmm. Meaning that we're not defined and controlled, and we aren't driven by and live by the things that we project things onto. So with this attachment, it's sort of based in a kind of ignorance and delusion and habit. We want things to remain the same. We want things to be, we want to have control over them. We are missing the obvious fact that we don't have a lot of control over things and that things are constantly in flux and changing. So this idea then of non-attachment, again, what is non-attachment in the Buddhist sense? This idea or this possibility of living with non-attachment. Well, you might say non-attachment is just that. Non-attachment is the ability to be in the present. Non-attachment is the wisdom that to know that everything, including all your experience and all the things you think you are changing, are flowing, are evolving, are in a process. Non-attachment is seeing things the way they are and not getting stuck, not getting identified, not getting lost in the changing phenomena. Not getting fixated, being open, being connected and open. It means being flexible, it means being fluid. It means not carrying the immense weight of all your past conditioning and baggage with you everywhere. It means being disengaged from our neurotic patterns to some degree, means being able to fully dance with what is. So this is what we investigate, what we reveal, what we make inquiries into is our own experience of attachment and the possibility and the freedom and the vitality of non-attachment. Now I want to switch a little bit to attachment in the Western sense, in the psychological sense. I don't know anymore. I've been so much in the scene for so long. Sometimes I don't know what average people think, but I don't mean average, and I mean, well, I mean, you know,
dominant paradigm.
Yeah, dominant paradigm. That's good. But I think in the dominant paradigm, again, the word attachment, if someone said you're attached to something or you're not attached, again, it might have positive or negative implications. I once was in a group, I was leading a group, and a group on mindfulness and meditation and so forth, and I was talking about attachment, and someone in the group said, wait a minute. And she said, I want to be more attached. I'm not attached enough. I feel isolated and alone. I feel a lack of attachment. So we talked about that, and that's why I want to address that. What I said to her, and I'll explain more, is I think in our language what you're talking about is connection. And in my book, this process of seeing through attachment and entering into non-attachment in the Buddhist sense is actually creating the environment for a profound experience of connection. Because as you non-attach, you actually begin to experience the interconnectedness and the interdependence that is what we are. So but in the Western psychological sense, attachment is kind of what this person was referring to. That in the psychological sense, and you might run into this, that there's this thing of positive or healthy attachment, and that having proper attachment, of being attached, is actually a psychological ideal or direction or possibility, or when we're healthy and healed, that's what we'll experience. So that's why I want to clarify this a little bit. In the psychological sense, attachment, Western psychological sense, attachment means only, it's only talking about people and our relationship to people. It's not talking about things and so forth. And it's really talking about our ability to form healthy relationships, healthy connections, closeness, contact, intimacy, to be open to others, to reciprocate, to feel empathy, to be aware of others' feelings, to care for others and be able to be cared for by others. Again, this idea of a kind of basic kind of bonding. Whether it's psychological or Buddhist or spiritual or meditative, that is all part of what we are moving towards the ability to be, if that's clear. We are social animals, and this possibility for this kind of healthy connectedness is part of what we're doing here. There is the term detachment. I try to use detachment and non-attachment differently. I may make the mistake of conflating them sometimes, and certainly you'll hear people using them in the same way or different ways. So again, I'm going to try to explain that. Detachment is different than non-attachment, and detachment I would describe as more what's called attachment disorder, that being isolated, being cut off, not being able to form and have intimate and open relationship with others. And there's a mistake often in the spiritual world, and I'm using that very broadly, and you may know it yourself, or you may have seen others who mistake detachment for non-attachment, who mistake cutting themselves off from others, who mistake isolating themselves, who mistake not being cutting themselves from their own emotional life, who mistake a kind of emotional flatness, who mistake not getting involved in relationships with other people as being a spiritual ideal. Has anyone run into that over the years? Seeing people, I see a few heads. If you've been around long enough and in enough scenes, it was more common, I would say, about, you know, when I first started getting involved, about 30 years ago or so. But you still see that today. That's not what we're talking about or offering as a possibility here. So again, in Western psychology, this idea of attachment and healthy attachment, they also talk about attachment disorder, which is actually closer to this idea of, I'm using the word detachment. And that's, I won't go into a lot of detail about it, but it's when a child and then potentially an adult is disinterested in other people, disengaged, is indifferent, has, or the other extreme of being so needy that they can't be ever comforted. And this is often caused by a child being isolated in throughout childhood, of not having healthy relationships or any relationships. So this idea of detachment is not, again, as I said, where we're moving, this idea of distancing or alienating or disengaging ourselves. It's actually considered to be, equanimity is one of the qualities of the heart. It's considered one of the major qualities of the heart. And this idea of detachment or indifference is considered the near enemy, something that looks similar to it but is actually, in a way, the opposite of what it is. So now, in 5 minutes, I'm going to talk about love. And what I want to say about love goes back to what I started with, which is, how do we love fully without attachment? And I'm going to make a few general comments, and this is inspired again by Valentine's Day, that a lot in our culture we tend to associate love with romantic love. And romantic love is a wonderful thing when you have it. And it can also be a crazy, disturbing thing when you have it or when you don't have it. And some of us here may feel like we have it right now, or we don't, or we may be in a relationship and feel like we don't have it. You know, there's many things. There's a lot of stuff around the whole idea of romantic love. Well, what I want to point out is that that a lot of, and this is not going to be new to people, I don't know all of you, but I suspect you're pretty sophisticated. You've had experiences, but I think it's useful to point out, because we tend to, I see this in myself and other people, despite everything that we have learned and know and practice and the wisdom we've developed, you can be kind of seduced by our idea of what romantic love is, or what love is in this culture. And I just want to say, a lot of what is purported to be a love is actually attachment. And is attachment in the way I was talking about, the Buddhist sense of attachment. It's a kind of projection, an idealization, a kind of fantasy, a kind of idealization, a kind of neediness of another person in a way that is actually... that we're trying to fulfill ourselves, we're trying to find ourselves, we're trying to identify for ourselves. We're looking to be rescued or saved or completed, or a lot of things that actually another person can't do. So there is a lot of unhappiness, a lot of suffering, a lot of struggle, a lot of difficulty around love in our culture because of this mistake. If romance or friendship or love in general is embedded and based on idealization and expectation and projection, it will inevitably lead to disappointment and conflict. But if romance, friendship, love is based in thoughtfulness and care, in generosity and shared enjoyment, in delight in being together, in a kind of presence together, that this can lead to greater understanding and greater love. So this is part of our task, to discern and really understand the difference here. So, one important thing to remember as we practice this idea of love without attachment is to realize that all relationships are temporary. All relationships are temporary. That there's no ever after, at least in a certain sense. And that if we realize this, because all relationships in this form are going to end, at the very least, in death. A lot of them end before that, in their own premature death, but at the very least. And this can bring, again, the sense of what does it mean to treat relationship with the preciousness that it has because it is temporary, and to be fully engaged with it and not cling and hold on to it and try to squeeze the life out of it or make it into something it isn't. So this love without attachment is a love that is not based on ego needs, that goes beyond what I would call ego needs, and it is really the openness and freeing of the heart. Rumi said, there's no better love than one without object. And this is a very profound statement. There is no better love than one without object. And we could also say, there is no better kindness than one without object. There is no better joy than one without object. There is no better compassion than one without object. And what does this mean? Well, it means as we practice that we find that we become love, that we become kindness, that we become joy and peace. It's not a feeling that we have, it's not something that we do, but we find that it is actually who we are, and we become it. That the veils, they fall away one by one to reveal this, the luminosity of who we are. So therefore, it does not need an object to exist. It shines no matter what. And so this love without attachment is always shining. It's actually always shining right now for each of you. It's just that we don't see it. Our vision has been temporarily blocked. It's like a light that's shining, and then something comes in front of it and it lights up that other object, but the object leaves and the light is still there. So I'm going to read you two short Rumi poems, kind of related to this. That I liked. Are you jealous of the ocean's generosity? Why would you refuse to give this love to anyone? Fish don't hold the sacred liquid in cups. They swim the huge fluid freedom. They swim the huge fluid freedom. And this one, the clear bead at the center changes everything. There are no edges to my loving now. There are no edges to my loving now. You've heard it said there's a window that opens from one mind to another. But if there's no wall, there's no need for fitting a window or a latch. And the last little bit for this talk is I'm going to go out on a little limb. I'm going to go out on the limb for you more, you students out there who like this sort of thing. I'm going to go out on the limb of emptiness. Called Shunyata. Because with this love, we also part of what allows this kind of boundless, objectless love is that we realize there are no objects. That there is just this. And this is made up of a fluid, changing, interconnected, interdependent suchness. So there's no longer someone and something to give or receive love. And there's nothing obstructing that love. And I'll really end now with this is one of my favorite quotes, which I've used before, from Kalu Rinpoche. We live in illusion and the appearance of things. There is a reality. We are that reality. Knowing this, we know that we are nothing, and being nothing, we are everything, and that is all.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.